I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. If you have a cell phone on, either turn it off or put it on vibrate. If you must step out, let's make it an emergency. Let's just not come and go. And if somebody does step out, ushers, I need someone back at that back door, as usual, to make sure that they're given a seat then in the back so they don't disturb. Jeremiah chapter 6, I want you to find verse number 14. Jeremiah 6, verse 14. Stand with me, if you will, please. Everybody standing. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. The time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16 is the primary verse for this evening's sermon. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, Dave, I'm going to change from the pulpit mic to this one. I want us to pray together. Father, bless us now. Take the sermon and use it to extend the life of this church. Jesus, we're grateful. You're the ancient one. You always have been. You always will be. You said, I am the Lord. I change not. Help us, Father. Help us that we would continue to be an old-time religion in a day and an age when you recommend that to people and they say, I'll not be that. I'll not walk in that old way. Help us to continue to walk in the old path, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The passage of Scripture that we just read was penned by Jeremiah the prophet. If you look at it, verse number 16 carefully, it says this. It says, thus saith the Lord. So this obviously comes from the mouth of God. And the statement is made, stand ye in the ways. Notice it did not say stand in the way, but the ways. That's a plural word. In other words, there was more than one way to go. From all indications, a traveler had come to a fork in the road. And there was more than one way to go. And he stands in this intersection. And so you know, folks, we all come to intersections in life. You're going to pick a way to go, and there are many ways to go. My recommendation is you always pick God's way. You always pick the Bible way. But in this case, there's some wording here that's very interesting. It says that he asks about which way to go, and he asks for the old path. That's the path of the old-time religion. So he's asking advice, which is the right way to go? Well, let me clarify, and we know this, but it needs to be repeated. The right way is the old-time religion way, and you say, why? Well, that's the proven way, the right way to go. That's the old-time religion way. That's the clearest way to go. There's a lot of confusion in quote-unquote religion today. And that's because they don't want the very simple truth that the old-time way is the best way. People say, well, I'm kind of confused about this new movement and the old-time way. There ought not be any confusion. The old-time way is God's way, and that's the right way. The old path, if you will, is a good path. The old path is God's path. But here's what's said. The question is asked, which way do I go? And someone said, take that old beaten path. And the Bible says, they said, we will not walk therein. There's some rebellion taking place right there. You understand that all over the United States of America, there are people that are saying, we'll not walk the old path. We'll not submit ourselves to the old time religion. We're not interested in that. They say that's for years gone by. Folks, that's not for years gone by. That's for right now. I'm glad that we have this new auditorium. Hey, but let me tell you something. We may have a new auditorium, but we don't have a new God. We've got the same old God. You say, we've got some new carpeting in here, preacher, and I really like it. I'm glad you like the new carpeting, but that's about as new as we're ever going to get around here because we're not changing the program. We're going to stay with the same old program and the same old soul winning and the same old running buses. You say, wow, this is nice and new, and we've got new chairs and new paint, and wow, look at the new things that we have. I don't mind those sort of new things. Those new things are okay. Those new things won't corrupt us, but I have to tell you, there are all sorts of people out there, all sorts of churches out there. They said, we're not going to walk in the old-time religion. We're not going to walk down that old path. And they're wrong, and you and I need to decide that we're going to stay old-time religion. I'm not ashamed of the fact that our church is an old-time religion church. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I consider myself an old-time Baptist preacher. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not trying to be a new contemporary type of a preacher. I want to help people this morning. I'll be honest, this morning I felt like it would be a good idea that I helped everybody that I could because we would have a lot of visitors here. We'd have a lot of people here that would need to hear that God loves them and that God can help them and they can make it. There was a little part of me that just wanted to throw a fit and go into a tirade of some sort while they were here about the old-time religion, but I knew that I'd get to do that for a little while tonight. But this is an old-time religion church. I'm seeing so many get away from the old-time religion. And, you know, it said, take the old path. And here's what we do. We say, I'm not going to take the old path, but I'll get on a new path that's kind of near the old path. No, I don't want to be on a path that's near the old path. I want to be on the old path. That's where I want to be. I'm not ashamed of the old-time religion. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that we're an old-time religion church. Now, if I may, let me tell you some areas that I believe this. Now, first of all, let me tell you, the old-time religion was believed by the old-time preachers and the old-time fundamentalists. And in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. This is the ancient or the old men weeping and shouting for joy that God's house had been rebuilt. And I'm glad of that. You know what? These were old timers that said, thank God for an old time religion place where we can hear from God and we can meet with God. Now, hey, look, I'll tell you this. I don't mind new leaders in fundamentalism as long as they don't want to lead us down a new path. When new leaders come on the scene and they want to start changing the old time religion, now those new leaders are making a mistake. They say, well, I've got a better way. Hey, you may improve the iPhone, and you may improve your computer, and you may improve a Toyota, but you can't improve the old-time religion. Well, they've got a better idea. Look, their idea is not better than the idea that God gave us originally. New leaders may come on the scene, but let's not let them lead us down another path. Let's stay on the old-time religion. I like the old-time religion. I like it. And I look back at some of those that have traveled it before us. Of course, we know Paul. Of course, we know Silas. And we heard about them tonight even by way of testimony. But thank God for the old path preachers and the old-time religion preachers. A Dr. Jack Hiles, a Dr. Tom Malone, a Lee Robertson, a Joe Boyd, an Oliver Green, a J. Frank Norris, a Curtis Hudson. Thank God for those fellas. Thank God that they got into the old-time religion and they stayed in the old-time religion. Those men, hey, those men are far removed from the new yuppie movement in our country. And listen, I'm not against new technology, but I'm against the corruption that comes when we leave the old-time religion. We've got to be willing. You know, we have forefathers that fought battles to stay right with God, to keep their churches in the old-time religion. And today, people just don't seem to want to fight for what's right. Now, folks, I don't want to go start any fights. But I'll tell you this, if we have to start a fight to stay right, we ought to fight to stay right. But I thank God for the old-time religion and thank God for the ancient men, those that stood for right. And folks, you know, we've dressed up and it's old-fashioned days and we've had some fun with it. But I admire the old men that made America great. I admire the ladies and the families that helped to make America great. And the way we're going to keep America great, or the way we're really going to make America great again, is to get back to the old-time religion. It's not going to happen because who's elected in the White House. It's going to happen because of what starts happening at your house and at the church house. But I thank God for those ancient men that were for the old-time religion. I thank God that those old-time religion people shouted old-time amens. Old-time amens. The Bible says in Luke 24:53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. In other words, they were in church, and every once in a while, somebody said amen. They were praising God and saying amen. Amen says this. It says, it's a part of the old-time religion. It says, I'm a part of that, and I agree with that. I support that. It's words of agreement. Now, ladies, we won't have you up and shouting amen and swinging from the rafters or anything like that. But I'll tell you this, you certainly can smile, and you can sing out, and you can have a good attitude. But I think most of the time, if there's any loud amen going on, it probably ought to be men. If you have hair on your chest, then you might be able to do that. The verse in the verse after verse in the Bible end with the word amen. You know what? That's God showing his agreement with the old time religion. And I'm not talking about shouting just to make noise or just to shout. I'm talking about you truly believe in the old time religion. And I want to tell you something, folks, we're going to want to be a little bit careful that clapping does not take the place of old time amens and praising God. That this is not the Grand Old Opry. This is church. And you know, people that may clap, and I'm not against clapping. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But I am going to tell you, it seems like we almost clap more than we say amen. But I like the amening. And some of you men need to just say it every once in a while. You say, well, Brother Owens, I just don't get excited like that. Oh, phooey. You can watch a ball game and spill chips all over the living room, stand up, spike a pillow, you're shouting and making all sorts of noise. Then you sit in church like a zombie. You can, too, get excited. You just choose what you get excited about. Hey, I'm talking about saying amen. And now, folks, and so you know, Baptists were shouting years before the Pentecostals started grunting because of intestinal blockages. And it's not, hey, shouting's not just for the healers, feelers, and squealers. It's also for God's people. And you have something about which to shout. Now, and again, you say, I'm not emotional. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah, have you ever seen a man that shot a buck? A man can shoot a buck, and you would be shocked at the adrenaline rush. You think somebody does a dance when they score a touchdown in the infield. You ought to see a man that shot a buck and how he dances when he's in the field getting ready to drag that thing in. I mean, he's out there. He's doing it. He is excited. Well, folks, look, we had a full house today. Somebody ought to say amen. We had 296 people here today. There were people that got saved. There are people that joined the church. That's worth getting excited about. The old-time religion, they said amen. The old-time religion had some old-timers that stuck with it. I think the old-time religion was determined, and it was supported, and it was made great because of the old black book. The old black book. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. And I'm talking about, just so I make it very clear, I'm talking about the King James Bible. The old PAS Bible, the old time religion Bible, is the King James Bible. It's not one of many. It's one of a kind. And folks, I wouldn't join the Bible of the Month Club. I wouldn't do that. You take your old time religion Bible, you take your King James Bible, and you just make that the book that you're going to stick with. You know, we sing the song, Get the New Look from the Old Book. And just so you know, the new look is actually an old look that you get from the old book. Yeah, sure. Hey, look, don't be ashamed of the King James Bible. It's the book of the old time religion. Look, you can tell when people are getting away from the old-time religion, they start getting away from the old black book. See, the old-time religion had an old-time book. The old-time religion was not afraid to shout an old-time amen. It had men that stood for the old-time religion. I think the old-time religion promoted old-time Baptist churches.
In 1 Corinthians 4:17 it says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into the remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul sends Timothy to remind the church at Corinth of his old ways. He told him, "You go to that church and you remind them how they were taught to behave." And if you know anything about the church at Corinth, they were misbehaving some. They were slipping. Paul said, "You remind them. They don't need to start changing their stance on morality. They don't need to start changing what they believe. They need to stick with the old time religion." Well, thank God. We need churches who are not ashamed to be called old fashioned. Look, we need altars, not concession stands. We need pianos, not drum sets. More important than a fountain in the courtyard is a fountain filled with blood. I like the lightness of our auditorium. I got to tell you, I stick my head in some auditoriums sometimes, and the light is so dim and so low. I feel like I've been at a theater, from all indications on how Brother Edwards describes theaters to me. Now, give me a church where you can see everybody and light that thing up. I'm not trying to set an atmosphere with dim lights. This isn't a dance hall. It's not a honky-tonk. It's a church. And we need our churches not to be ashamed of that. You just give me that old-time religion. I like a church that looks like a church and acts like a church. And when you, I want to go home from church and feel like I've been at church. So the old-time religion. The old-time religion was promoted in old-time religion churches. The old-time religion promoted an old-time religion Bible. The old-time religion had old-time amens and old-time men and women that took a stand for the old-time way. But not only that, the old-time religion, they believed in old-fashioned soul winning. Old-fashioned soul winning. Folks, if there is a heaven, and there is, and if there is a hell, and there is, this thing of keeping people out of hell is a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, the Great Commission has three parts to it. Get them saved, get them baptized, get them into the church. But what you're doing is you're building a workforce there. You say, to accomplish what? So the workforce goes back out and gets people saved, gets people baptized, and gets them in the church. And then you send that workforce back out to get people saved, get them baptized, and get them in the church. Hey, we are an old-time religion. We believe in the Great Commission around here. Nothing can replace old-fashioned soul winning. I'm talking about knocking on doors and finding lost people. Again, I can't tell you how many churches today, I think they were sincere. I think the pastor was sincere. I think the congregation was sincere. But this is what they did. They prayed that visitors would come to their church. And they went to church this morning, and everybody went in there, and they sat down waiting for visitors to come to church. Can I explain it to you? Churches that do nothing but sit around and pray and wait are not, they're missing an essential part of it. The Bible says, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be full." God likes a full house. There's only two people that really thrill when the church house is full to overflowing. It's God and the pastor. I try my best to understand and say to everybody, as you sit out there, "It is so full, it's terrible." And I'll say with you, I know, it's so full, it's terrible. I've got my fingers crossed all the time we're doing it. And you say, how does that happen? Because we pray and we come to church Sunday, but we went out looking for them. We went out to look for the lost sheep and bring them to Jesus Christ. And that's what old-time religion churches are supposed to do. We're not to give up on this thing of soul winning and telling others about Christ. Millions of people have been saved because of soul winning. People are not ashamed to share the gospel. You need to grab you a handful of gospel tracts and find somebody and hand them a tract. Take your Bible out. Show them that Jesus loves them. Show them how to be born again. Let's get people saved. Because old-time religion churches, they're not ashamed of soul winning. They're not ashamed of that. Not only that, though, old-time religion churches believe in old-time gospel music. In Psalm chapter 77, verse 6 and 7, it says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit make diligent search." Boy, that song is important. That song is important. You know, it talks about the song in the night. That might be a song that comforts you when you're alone in the darkness, maybe even of the possibility of a depressed night. Can I tell you something? The kind of music that we heard here tonight, if you heard it in the dark of the night, that music could encourage you. You go out to the honky-tonk, you listen to their music in the dark of the depression of night, and you'll end up being more depressed, and you'll have to take another gulp of your Jack Daniels, and you'll have to take another hit off of some marijuana to get yourself calmed down. But the old-time religion had a music that would meet the need of people. And I thank God for that. You can tell when a church begins to slip from the old-time religion. First two things that deteriorates, their music and their education program. Their education program turns into a catch-all where we're just trying to make money. So we drop our standards to keep the bills paid at the school. You won't understand that, but I do. Then we want to drop our music standard because you say you'll draw a bigger crowd that way. Well, let me tell you, first of all, I'm not trying to draw a bigger crowd with my music. I'm trying to please God with my music. Well, I thank God, and folks, I appreciate you coming and singing for me. But I'll tell you all something. If the only reason anybody comes to your church is because of the music, there might be a problem. They ought to be coming because of the Word of God. Oh, we use music. We love music. I think we have a great music program here. I wish you all could have heard some of our music people. They're fantastic. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the old-time religion has old-time religion music. What's wrong with the gospel hymns? What's wrong with Blessed Assurance? What's wrong with Amazing Grace? What's wrong with Love Lifted Me? You don't need a rock and roll band in your church to draw a crowd. And I'll tell you this, if you say, well, Pastor, if we had some of that contemporary music, we would draw a different crowd. I'm not trying to draw a different crowd. There's one thing that I want. There's one person I want to make sure always wants to be in my church, and it's not you. It is the Holy Ghost of God. It is the God of the universe, and I want the music that pleases Him. And you say, but we don't like that. Then you don't like what God likes. That's your problem. He's right. You're wrong. And we want to stick with Him. That's what the old time religion is. Hey, look, you won't have to worry. You say, preacher, why is it every time we get a new auditorium, it gets so congested there's not room for people? Well, I think God's blessing us, and I'm glad of that. But here's one thing we'll never have to do. We'll never hear, as long as I'm in my right mind, we'll never have to have two services. One for the traditional and one for the contemporary. We're never going to have that. Say, what are we going to have? We're going to have one old-time religion service. You say, what about the contemporary? They can get saved and they can be changed and enjoy the old-time religion. Old-time music is very much so a part of the old-time religion. I think the old paths and the old-time religion had something to do with old-fashioned preaching. And Isaiah 61:1, I love something Brother Brent said. He said, my favorite preacher is Jesus. Amen. A lot of people miss it. Jesus Christ, He was a preacher. He was the Prince of Preachers. You say, well, tell me about a sermon that he preached. Got a whole book of them. Every good sermon you ever heard was stolen. They've all been borrowed. You say, borrowed from who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Boy, if you ever heard a good one, it was plagiarized. But I believe that the old-time religion included old-time religion preaching. I believe that preachers ought to preach. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Jesus was a preacher. I think Jesus was a preacher. And I think there's some philosophy that will come out when people preach. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think preachers are to be primarily philosophers. I think they're supposed to be preachers. We need old-fashioned rainstorm, window-rattling, knock-down, drag-out, spit in your eye, hell-bent for leather. Preachers are not afraid to stand up and preach. Preachers, I think preachers ought to preach like men, not like Richard Simmons dropouts. Boy, drama and just the thought of men in tights bothers me. That just bothers me. I'm not against the church having some sort of a video presentation every once in a while, but I'm going to tell you this. We will never cancel a preaching service to have a video presentation. We will never cancel a preaching service just to have a cantata. No, we can have some of both. But preaching is something that Jesus did. And here's what we want today. Preachers want to preach today on sin, but not offend. Well, I haven't been able to figure that out yet. Look, you can't cloak sin's wickedness. It's to be made clear. Look, I'll put it this way. Sugar-coating dung won't change its smell. It just won't do it. Preacher's supposed to say sin's bad. Preacher's supposed to say that's wicked. You say, but won't that make people feel bad? They're supposed to feel bad about their sin. Good. We live in a day where it's good God, good gravy, good devil. It seems like we don't want to draw a line. You say, Pastor, you need to be careful. You're not being politically correct. No, I would never want to do that. We're not supposed to be politically correct. We're supposed to be biblically correct. Don't swallow hook, line, and sinker this rotten philosophy that is taking over our world. I'm watching old-time preachers. They're virtually becoming nothing but pulpit psychologists. Look, and if you're not careful, who you listen to and who you read is who you're going to become like. You better be careful. Get to the old-time religion. See, the old-time religion was the old-time religion of the ancients, the men of the last generation. It was a place where you would hear amens. They would carry the old black book. It was promoted in an old-time religion church, and they were a soul-winning church, and they had the right kind of music and the right kind of preaching. And I might throw this in here. I believe the old-time religion included great love and compassion for people. I still believe John 3:16 may be the theme of the Christian life, for God so loved the world. This morning, I think we had a lot of people here. I could have made everybody here mad. It would have been very easy for me to do. I wanted them to hear that somebody loved them, and I wanted them to know they can make it, and I wanted them to know that they could take it. See, I don't know that I would preach a sermon exactly like this when I had 30 or 40 visiting families. Why? Well, I think they need to get saved. I think they need to warm up to us a little bit. Say, preacher, were you scared? No, I was not scared. I was just trying to be wise. I wanted to present something to them that could be attractive to them. But look, I think sometimes we think that to be an old-time fundamentalist, you have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk to be an old-time fundamentalist. I think you can stand and you can preach, and I think you can preach hard on sin, but people ought to know that you love them. I want our church to lift the fallen. I want people to know that there's a love between the brethren here at this church. The truth, hey, when the truth is told, it will reveal compromisers. But let's make sure that as a part of the balance of the old-time religion, that we keep loving people, that we're good to people, that we're kind to people. And folks, when you're a church like ours, we have separation. We have standards. We don't dress like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't have the world's entertainments. Well, when you have all that strictness in a church, which I believe happens, it's not Owen strictness, it's biblical strictness. But when you have all that, the lost and dying world needs to see that you love people. They need to see you're good to people. That way you don't come across as if you're hateful. Or you come across, that's because the standards and the convictions are very, very heavy for them. That part of it troubles them a little bit. You know what we ought to do? We ought to make sure that our love and our compassion and our concern for people is rated as high as some of you rate your standards and your convictions in your own thinking. Because the old-time religion included compassion. And the old-time religion included the love of God. Stay with me. There's only another point or two here, and you're paying such good attention. Whatever you do, don't get disinterested, because if you get disinterested, I'll add 15 minutes to this sermon. In the old-time religion, I think they also promoted a holy God. A holy God. The Bible says in Psalm 93:1, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. Now listen to me. God is still a holy God. We're to preach him as the holy God that he is. But don't dilute his perfection. You say, but in our society, fooey on society Jesus deserves to be exalted. God is still God. And you hear me say this every once in a while. You look out on the road, somebody's pulling an 18-wheeler, and they got that big trailer, and a great big sign on the side of the trailer that says, "Go to the church of your choice." Hey, you're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You're go to the church of God's choice. And our God is a holy God. Don't compromise His demand to have control over you. He's to have command over you. Don't apologize for God's perfection and God's purity. God is holy. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. And He deserves to be treated and respected and honored and lifted up as holy. And again, I think the old time religion is a religion that does that. I think that's one of the reasons to stay with the old time religion. Because the old time religion is still lifting Jesus up and still lifting God up. Not only that, I think people of the old time religion are led by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Folks, the Holy Ghost is not just for the old pastors of years ago. I have to tell you, there's a passion about me. And this is it. I read when I was a young preacher boy. I was called to preach when I was 16. And I would go and I would read. Girls, pay attention right up here. I would read the stories of the preachers of years gone by. I'd hear about revivals. I'd hear about them going to a church and they would fill the church to capacity. And they'd have to put people outside the actual auditorium. I would hear of preachers that would preach and the Spirit of God would fall. And you just knew conviction was present. And I'd hear about the revivals and growth and people. And I'm talking about spiritual growth and numerical growth. And I kept on hearing preachers say, "I remember back. I remember back. I remember back." I got to tell you, I didn't want to remember back. I wanted to see it. I wanted my children to see it. I wanted my wife to see it. I wanted the people in my church to see it. I didn't want to hear about all the churches that had revival. And wait, if you went back in the 1800s and if you went back in the early 1900s, and boy, the last generation, I want it for my generation. And it may be stingy, but I want it for my family. And I want it for my church. And God is not a respecter of persons. And if the man from 100 years ago would pay the price and the congregation would pay the price for revival, God would give it. I believe with my whole heart, if a congregation today will pay the price for an old-time religion revival, God will give it again. And all over our country, they're making up excuses as to why churches can't grow. They're just telling you it can't be done in this day and age. And this is the age of apostasy. And it may well be, but don't tell me. I'm planning on ignoring that. You run faster that way. We have a lazy generation that's looking for an excuse. You say, "But it's so wicked in this day and age, Pastor." I know. But that wickedness, it works like a catapult. As you know, God said, "Hey, where sin did abound, did grace much more abound." That means as a generation gets worse, somewhere there could be a pocket of revival and a bunch of people could get saved. And I don't know where that pocket's going to be, but if God's looking for volunteers, I'd like the hand of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church to go up and say, "Okay, God, if you're looking for a place to get a bunch of people saved and lives saved, hey, if you're looking for a remnant of the old time religion, we're willing. We're willing. We're not looking for excuses. We're looking for solutions. We're not looking for a way out. We're looking for a way in. We're not going down. We're going up. We're not going backwards. We're going forwards." Say, "But Pastor, most aren't doing that." Don't keep your eyes on most. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It'll take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. That's good enough for me.
Someone said, it'll do when I'm dying. You know, when you're saved and you got the old time religion, and you're about to cross over. Folks, I've been at the bedside. Some of you have seen a few people die. I've seen a lot of people die. I've been at the bedside of saved saints. And the death experience for a saved saint and a lost man are totally different. Lost man's death is morbid. Fear. It's terrible. But the old time religion, it'll do when I'm dying. It'll do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. Just give us the old time religion. And I'll say this and I'm done. Say, Pastor, but wonder if the old time religion, wonder if our church doesn't grow because of it. Then I'm sticking with the old time religion. But I think the church can grow. I think it can grow while you stick to the old time religion. But if I had to make a choice, a growing church or the old time religion, I'm taking the old time religion. But no choice has to be made. We can have both. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, we want to welcome you to the Savior. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved tonight? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. Please pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved. I don't know if I die today. I go to heaven. All right. Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I know it. I will lift my hand to the sky and let Jesus see I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again Christian. Would you raise your hand and let it be seen tonight? God bless you. Look at all those hands. You may put those hands down. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand to this question, but I am going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you something that you answer in your heart. Are you committed to the old-time religion? I think you are. I hope you are. If you're not, I wish you would get committed. I wish you'd get committed. Maybe somewhere in the sermon tonight, God has spoken to your heart. If that be the case, who here would say, Pastor, in this sermon, God touched my heart in a special way. Hey, maybe it was the sermon of this morning and you just didn't get a chance to respond much because it was so congested in this auditorium. There's so many people. But you say, Pastor, today, God has spoken to my heart in a unique and a special way. And I know God has dealt with me about something. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Boy, hands up all over the place. I believe you may put those hands down. I believe this. I believe the old-time religion had old-time altar calls. In a second, we're going to start the piano and stand. I think there's some of you ought to leave your seat, come forward, and maybe get on your knees and pray. Some of you need to come and pray and thank God for something He's done for you. Some of you ought to come up here and pray that your church always stays an old-time religion church. Some of you have something unique that God's spoken to you about. If you need this altar, you ought to use it. And I'm going to tell you again, part of the old-time religion are old-fashioned altar calls. Let's never get to the point where the altar call is just for that wicked, vile sinner. And by the way, we are all wicked, vile sinners, and we all need the altar from time to time. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, why don't you come? Young person, do you need the altar? Mom, Dad, do you need the altar? Do you need to come and pray? Maybe you ought to come and pray and say, God, just help me. Help me to keep my church an old-time religion church. God, help me that I would get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. God, help me. I need to make some changes in my music, some changes in my church attendance, some changes around the house. There's some things I need to do to keep my home an old-time religion home. And don't be ashamed of it. Don't cower. When somebody asks you what church you go to, I'm not real concerned that you have to brag on Twin Rivers Baptist Church, but I am concerned if you cower because you're ashamed of the fact that you go to that old-time religion church. Now that, you should not cower in regard. You should be glad for the old-time religion. Thank God for our old-time religion music program. Thank God for our bus ministry, our soul winning ministry, our mission ministry. Thank God for the old time religion. Thank God for our old time religion music ministry, children's choirs, adult choir, all the quartets and the trios and all the singing that goes on around here. And every bit of it, we want to please God. We want to please God. Let God be uplifted. Thank God for the old time religion. The old-time religion.